I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You have to look at, you know, Lonzo, because his rotation is going to be the short rotation and stints. And I give him a lot of credit from a guy that was playing, you know, 35 minutes a game for most of his career. Now he's got to go in and figure out, how do I play 4 minute stints of in and out? And he's done that pretty effectively. But that rotation piece of him playing in those short stints is probably going to be that way for a while.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Yes, indeed, it's the opener tonight. The Bulls season begins tonight in New Orleans. Gonna tell you what I'm doing, did I lost to a team? No, they're not gonna lose.
I don't know. Win. Well, the right. Pelicans could be compromised. They could be injured. They could be without Zion Williamson. Would be no shocker, because Zion seems to find his way on the injured list often and early. But maybe he doesn't play. Maybe he does play. The Bulls, I think, have to look at this as they want to get off on the right foot.
Yes.
Tough first five games.
It'd be nice to win a game. But I think we all understand the position the Bulls are in.
What is that?
Position of change. They are a team that is transitioning, shall we say, from the DeMar DeRozan era. DeMar DeRozan is a really good dude and a really good player, and he's really gone from Chicago. So things have changed. We are seeing a different team than the Bulls were before. They've got different. I don't know that they've gotten better. Alex Caruso was traded in the offseason. DeMar DeRozan leaving. Andre Drummond leaving. They're a different team. They've got younger players. They've got Zach LaVine back from injury.
Right.
For how long?
So
hard thing to judge whether he and Vooch could be moving off the roster before the trade deadline gets here. They're a team in transition, and this is the first game of the season tonight.
Teams in transition typically understand where they're transitioning to, right?
Yes.
In pro sports, we have rebuilds, we have transitions, we have teams that are trying to stay on top. This is the part of me that, as the Bulls open tonight, I'm admittedly confused, because I don't think the Bulls have picked a lane. I think that's a really dangerous place to be as a pro sports franchise. Dangerous might be overstating it. It's a real kind of nebulous existence, right? You're where are you? Are you headed toward a championship? Are you headed away from a championship?
Yes.
Are you running in place? The symbol for this season should be a treadmill, because I think the Bulls are running in place.
No, I think they are. I'm just basing it on win totals that you hear from the fine folks in Las Vegas or from the gambling sites, whatever way you want to term it. I think they are no longer in contention for a play-in spot. They are in a position where they're going to be out of the playoffs. I would wonder, David, knowing that their number one pick, they still owe a pick to Orlando in the Vooch trade, knowing that that is top 10 protected, does that mean that this team needs to finish among the worst 10 teams in the NBA? Because
mathematically, that would be the case.
Right.
That would be the incentive to being bad. When I look at this roster, Mully, and I look at where we are right now as we sit here on the morning of October 23rd, the Bulls aren't that bad. They aren't bad enough to guarantee that they're going to be among the 10 worst teams in the league if a lot of things happen that we could conceivably expect to happen. Let's start with the coach, because we just heard from Joe Ostrowski that Billy Donovan is the odds-on favorite to be the first coach fired this year in the NBA.
Yeah,
I think that's a product of people betting on Chicago than it is the expectation that Billy Donovan is going to be launched.
So Billy Donovan is in his He had a 4-year deal, right? When he came, no, 5-year, $24 million deal. Is that what it was? And before the 22-23 season, he got a contract extension of multi-years. We don't know exactly how long, but it is believed to be at least 4 years. Mm-hmm. He is believed to be under contract until at least 2027.
Making $6 million a year.
So, he made $6 million when he first came here. I don't know if he got a bump. I don't know if he just...
Latest reports were that he is estimated to be making around $6 million
okay.
a year.
So, that's through at least 2027.
Okay.
We don't know the exact number of years. But the point is that he's making a good living and he has a pretty good deal. And I think that when we look at the Eastern Conference... There are as many bad teams as good teams. I think you can pick
top
four teams in the Eastern Conference. I think you might be able to pick, I will say, you can pick the 8 playoff teams right now, with the exception of maybe Atlanta could challenge and be like the 9th best team. I feel like there is not a lot of unknown with the Eastern Conference, that it is... We could do a pretty good job of figuring out of the 15 teams who's in and who's
provided
out.
Provided teams stay healthy, provided players show up. There's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts.
But there's some terrible teams.
There are some terrible teams.
Know, the,
but where are the Bulls in that conversation? That's a problem.
Are they bad enough is what you're saying.
I'm saying that I question, as we sit here this morning, that they are bad enough to guarantee that they're going to be able to protect that pick.
And I would say take all the time you need to work it through, because they're going to get bad enough. They're going to.
Okay.
I believe that there will be two seasons, the one you start the year with, and I was wildly entertained.
Well, this
by
is
the
what's
preseason.
Interesting to me, because as ambiguous as it seems right now, we're sitting here with a coach who's going to get the most, I believe, out of this roster as it currently stands. If there is a before and after, it means that the after will include the Bulls having a roster that is lesser than it is right now. Billy Donovan will be in charge of coaching that team. Billy Donovan came to Chicago. He left OKC. Why? Well, he left the Thunder because there was no appetite for him to be part of a rebuild in Oklahoma City. If he gets rid of Zach LaVine, if they trade Vooch, if they are a different team, as you suggest, the second half of the season, or maybe after December 15th, who knows,
right.
Then Billy Donovan's going to be right smack dab in the middle of a project that he didn't want to embark on in Oklahoma City. That's going to be maybe something he's ready for at this stage of his career. He turned down Kentucky to stay in the NBA. He turned down other overtures to stay as an NBA coach, but This is what I mean in terms of it's going to be something that he embraces, but I don't know that it's ideal for him.
Listen, I think those are separate issues. I think that the college game has changed so dramatically. Why would Billy, who's been in the NBA, who has enjoyed getting paid and dealing with NBA players and doing all the things you do in the NBA... Why to go back to recruiting
because,
and NIL?
Okay.
And there are guys leaving the college game at breakneck pace.
Tony Bennett just retired from Virginia.
But unbelievable. How old's Tony Bennett?
He's 55 years old.
It's incredible that he stepped down.
I don't want to necessarily relitigate the summer, but I do think that if this season is headed where you're suggesting it is headed and it's veering off the road the moment that they trade Zach LaVine and they're going to be closer to being among the 10 worst than the 10 best or a playoff play-in team, and I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I still wonder, is rebuilding the Bulls and being the head coach of that project a better situation than dealing with the NIL mess and coaching at Kentucky?
Yes.
Billy Donovan, be careful what you wish for.
No, I think he's in a good position.
Okay.
I think he's getting paid. He's got
all right.
job security such as it is in the NBA. And I think that these things, it's like the old Hemingway line, how do you go bankrupt, very, very slowly, then all at once.
I love when you quote Hemingway.
But no, I'm just saying that's what we're talking about with the suddenness of change in the NBA.
I'll move on. I don't want to get too caught up on Billy Donovan's situation.
I
respect him as a coach.
I think you're right, though. I think people are saying the Bulls are going to be about 10 games worse than they were a year ago, so if the coach is going to get fired, I'll bet on that.
I just don't see him being a coach worthy of getting fired.
I agree.
Because I think he's a really good coach, and he might be too good of a coach to get talent, get the most out of the talent on the roster, and they might not be as bad as they think or want to be.
You believe he'll quit.
No, I don't think he'll quit. I don't see that in him. I hope he doesn't quit. I think he's an asset to our professional sports scene. I love talking to him as we did yesterday. I love hearing him explain the game night in, night out. I'm not sure there's a coach in town that does a better job at that part of the job.
Yeah.
Dealing with the media. I want to talk about the roster for a moment, though, because the roster that will change as they get deeper into the season.
Am I wrong about that?
I don't think so.
I think that Zach LaVine needs to sort of kind of rebuild his reputation among the league decision.
But let me ask you this, though. Are you saying that he needs to be traded because you think the Bulls need to get worse to protect that pick? Or are you saying that he needs to be traded because he's done all that he can in Chicago and they can't possibly get the most out of him because of the size of the contract?
I like him a lot. I think he's a good player. I think that he was in a tough situation here. I think that it just didn't work. And so they made him their max player, and it didn't work. And I think he wanted out a year ago, and he couldn't pull it off. And now I think they're on board with him wanting out. He wants out. I'm just saying, I mean, no one's going to come out and say this stuff. He did a great job at Media Day. But I believe that all this, the seeds that were planted a year ago are growing and they're building stronger roots, and he will be on his way out. And I think that once that happens, if that happens, then why would you want Vooch here?
All right, fair enough. So one is related to the other. The domino that would be the first to fall or go would be Zach and then Vooch. The great thing to consider, and I don't know if it's great, but the, to me, fascinating possibility exists, and the only time we can talk about it is this morning when optimism is everywhere because it is opening night. What if they are, because of Lonzo Ball's return, because of Bezelis' surprise, because of whatever, what if they're better than we think? What if they're better than we expect? What do you do then? Oh, NBA savant.
I would be amazed if that were the case. I do think they're deeper.
Right.
I think they are deep. They've got guys that can run. I think that the problem, David, is that maybe we are too caught up in what was a surprising preseason where they were able to jack the ball up and they were run. Julian Phillips was hitting three-pointers to the point where I said yesterday, I hope he's in the rotation.
I hope he's in the rotation, hitting corner threes.
But I mean, that's an absurd comment. It's crazy to say that kind of thing, because what happens is invariably in the NBA, there is a hierarchy and there are teams that are more talented than you are with their top line players.
True.
And those players will play longer in the regular season. They won't play enough and they won't play back to backs, but they will play longer and through games, and their numbers will be, and you will be doing the same thing. You will try to play your best players and you will end up not being as good as some of your opponents. It's just the reality of all you got to do is check any list of the top 100 players in the NBA, and you'll find the Bulls don't have anybody
that's true.
Listed as the top 50
player. And when you look at the Eastern Conference, as we did earlier, you look at the Celtics and Bucks and Sixers and Cavs and Pacers, and they have deeper rosters than the Bulls do. We're looking at the Bulls comparing this Bulls roster to maybe previous Bulls rosters. When you compare this Bulls roster to the rest of the league, then you start to have a little bit more of a reality check, perhaps. And I think that's a good point to remember. The bench for the Bulls, though, is something that I feel like, and maybe this is provincial to say, but I feel like the depth of the Bulls is better than I expected it to be. And I do wonder how good it is relative to the other teams in the East, because if you include Lonzo Ball coming off that bench, all of a sudden you feel a lot better about your depth. And maybe
expecting
too much from a guy that we didn't expect anything from.
We didn't expect anything from Lonzo Ball. And in fact, we are expecting him to play 16 minutes a game, but
tonight,
not every game.
Tonight.
He has a minutes restriction of 16 minutes. He also can't play back-to-backs. So I think, you're talking about him maybe playing 60 games, maybe playing a quarter a game. I just don't think when you really add up the numbers, he will be around. I think that they need Josh Giddey to be all-star level. They need him to be a really good player. They don't need Lonzo to be a great player.
They need Josh Giddey to emerge more than they need Lonzo to contribute.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Josh Giddey needs to be, if he is a breakthrough player, that's another if, right?
Well, he didn't look like one. He did not look like one in the preseason, in my opinion.
Health? Think it could be health because it's coming off that Achilles issue?
No, I think it was shooting. I think it was eye-hand coordination. I was surprised at
good
how
passer.
Poorly he shot.
Yeah, he's not a great shooter.
No.
He needs to hit more than 30% of his threes. He needs to be the guy that is...
He needs to hit 30%.
Yeah, he didn't even do that. He needs to protect the basketball and be the guy who you trust to run your offense, get the ball to the right people so Coby White can take this quantum leap or this big step that everybody in Chicago expects him to take.
It's hard. I don't know that there's another step for him. I hope there is. I think he was kind of a disappointment, and then he came into his own, and then you felt like, wow, there's something there after Zach went down.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I don't know if he has the next step in him. I hope he does. This is the thing you're hoping for. You're hoping that, like, when you talk about maybe they're better than you think they are, you're hoping that Matas Buzelis, who is 19 years old.
19.
Very young.
New haircut, too, by the way.
Did he finally one?
Well, he did. He looks pretty sharp.
Did he go to the Bears airplane?
I don't think he did.
They brought two barbers.
No, he went to Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
With his other Hinsdale buddy.
He didn't get the bowl cut.
No, he got the Doug Kramer cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting to me is that you need that guy to kind of be on a trajectory. He could very well be at Rockford.
He could.
I mean, I told you this. A friend of mine asked me.
Hoffman Estates.
Asked me who Rockford. I got him playing hockey.
You got him playing hockey.
Said,
no, I'm just saying,
all right. I'm sorry.
That was a chuckle.
You knew what I meant.
I did know what you meant because Rockford used to be the CBA team.
A friend of mine said to me, you love the NBA. You follow the NBA. I'm like, yeah, I've always followed the NBA. Who was the number one draft pick last year? And I was like, I knew there were a bunch of French kids involved in it.
It was a nondescript draft.
I knew Reed Shepard was drafted somewhere. I mean,
it was sponsored by Google.
It was
definitely
Zachary Richard, I don't even know the guy's name, followed by Alex Sarr, who is a Frenchman playing in Australia. Is that it? There's a whole international flair. But there was talk that Buzelis could be a guy that was going to go
at
higher.
At one point, he was mocked in number one in some drafts.
Yeah, so if he's that good, and if they did get something that they weren't expecting, and the guy, to his credit, has shown a lot of...
He's explosive. He can be explosive. He needs to shoot it better. He needs to be a guy that can hit the three.
The world needs to shoot better, buddy.
Well, if the Bulls are going to take 53s a game, they need to shoot better. They need to make at least, 33% of those? They need to be better than they were last year. And they averaged 27.
I think there's so many problems with the Bulls. For instance, when you got to the end of a game, who hit the big shot? It was DeMar DeRozan. He nearly won the clutch award, right? Now who does?
That's Coby White, according to people who are expecting him to take that step. If he's going to do that, he is that guy.
Can Zach pass him the ball to do that, or does he rather take that shot himself?
Well, that's going to be one of the dynamics that are going to play out in front of us. Beginning tonight in New Orleans, the Bulls with a 5-game stretch to begin the season. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
When you look at this weekend's back-to-back, they have to really win tonight. It's not a must-win. I think it could be a statement game, though. You want to make the statement, they're ready for the season.
Yeah, I hope Zion doesn't play. Isn't he rumored to
I
be
hope
out
he does not
game?
Play. I hope he continues to be ill. You don't wish ill on anybody, but I hope he's sick tonight.
You wish one day of ill on all of them.
I hope he does.
Playing the
hope
Bulls.
He gets some bad gumbo for his pregame meal.
They need all the help they can get. All right, we got Dan Wiederer is going to join us Wednesday. Big day. in the NFL. We will have all the injury lies that will be laid out for us with the injury report. But it's always fun to kind of peek at that and look at it. And the Bears will be back in action at Halas Hall. We'll talk to Dan Wiederer next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. In New Orleans, gonna tell you what I done did.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hike, hike. Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Wiederer joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dan, how are you? What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing good. Did you guys enjoy your bye weekend?
Yes, actually.
I went out of town.
Very nice. Where'd you go?
Went to Boston, see my daughter. It was parents' weekend. It was great. She goes to Boston U, so I bought a hockey shirt. That's pretty much what I did.
How did you enjoy it, Dan?
I'm trying to remember what Saturday was. I played a little golf on Friday. On Sunday, got to watch football like most of the world gets to watch football and watch that pretty compelling Vikings-Lions game. That was fun, and obviously, you're out at some youth sports events and things of that nature. So, yeah, good little time to step back and take a breath.
Did you feel better or worse about the Bears' prospects to be a playoff team this season after watching the rest of the NFC North?
I just feel better about the challenge that they're going to be asked to take. You know, I think this is really fun for an ascending program to kind of have to measure itself by standards that are high, you know. And so, like, this division is going to give them – no breaks, and there's going to be a stretch here when we get into November where you start a run of six games in 8 weeks against the division, and it's going to be really compelling to watch because again, there's no matchup that you're going to walk into and go, okay, this is going to be a friendly weekend, and so this is good. It's a good season for the Bears to measure up against that, and we'll see if they're up to the challenge. And obviously, they've got a runway these next few weeks to try to get themselves ready for that.
I was impressed with both the Lions and the way that they came back and won that game, but also with the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings are real. That's a good team. That was a really tough game. That was their first loss. I was kind of curious to get a better look at them, especially with Hutchinson out and what they could do. I thought both teams played great, and it came down to the wire. And then you look at Green Bay, and they get a field goal at the end to win the game. Very good stuff from the division.
Yeah, great theater in that Vikings-Lions game. And you look, like, there's points in that game where you're watching that and you see some of the things that Brian Flores is doing, you know, like, oh man, this is going to be a real challenge for a rookie quarterback to kind of diagnose and react to all of the different things that Brian Flores will throw at you. And then you see Jared Goff making some of those veteran adjustments to get them in things. Like, there was one play, it was like a cover zero coming. He recognized it, checked to it, hit something for like 7 or 8 yards, but it was a third down play that moved the chains, kept the scoring drive alive. And to watch the Lions respond after they sort of gave that game away, you're on the road, you've had a lot of things go wrong, and the ability to come up with that response drive at the end to get the game-winning field goal, man, they're for real. And so it doesn't seem like there's any team in this division right now that's not for real. And you might be able to include the Bears on that list again as they start that climb.
What are your expectations with the Jaden Daniels rib watch, and how big of a drop-off do you consider it to be to go to Marcus Mariota if they do?
Half slab, full slab. We'll figure out what Jaden Daniels' rib watch looks like by the end of the week. We'll see. Look, like Marcus Mariota, albeit against poor competition on Sunday, played really well. I think it was 18 for 23, 202 and a touchdown or something around that. So you saw an offense that didn't fall off there. They also have a very reliable running game right now. And you see the way Cliff Kingsbury has married the run and the pass together, and Brian Robinson Jr. is having what could be a Pro Bowl season right now for them out of the backfield. And so the Bears shouldn't take any sort of exhale if Jaden Daniels isn't able to play. It will lessen the luster of a game that I think everybody is kind of looking forward to as a spotlight game, number one versus number two in the draft. And you just see these two teams that have been perennially kind of laughing stocks in the NFC now suddenly rising up and stating their case to be teams that can play in the postseason in January. And so there's a lot going into this matchup. Hopefully the Bears can regain their focus quickly today when they get back to practice after a long layoff, and then channel that forward into a game Sunday that should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I hope that Jaden Daniels can play, because I really want to see the two quarterbacks. They flex 100%. The game for a reason. I mean, it just should be a ton of fun to see this happen. Regardless, what's the health condition of the Bears? Are we expecting anything from Jaquan Brisker? I understand it's the doctors are involved. It has nothing to do with want to or anything like that. It'll come down to whether or not the analysis of his brain looks right, whether they've got a baseline and whether he looks okay. But Felucci said he had a couple of steps to go. It looks like Kyler Gordon, when a guy's working through a hamstring, that takes weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the one I'm least optimistic about, and the Gordon watch will be on. And again, look, like Kyler Gordon missed a long stretch of training camp. I think it was a calf issue then. And so, you know, sometimes these things linger and they nag, and you want to have a big picture view in mind when you're working a guy back. So I'm least optimistic about him. We'll see what Tyrique Stevenson is able to do, if anything, today. And then with Brisker, I there's some optimism that he'll clear protocol and be ready to go. Hopefully we have a little bit more clarity on that by the early part of the afternoon today. But that's trending in the right direction. I was surprised to hear Eberflus say on Monday that Scott Daly was at least able to be on the field for walkthrough on Monday, because that seemed like a very serious injury when it happened in London. They obviously went out and signed a long snapper to their practice squad, but that's worth keeping an eye on today as well, just to see if Scott Daly's able to do anything in practice or if he's still a little bit limited.
Dan, the next three games are winnable for the Bears before they get into the division. A lot of things have to go their way. A lot of givens have to be assumed. But I think when you look at the next 3 weeks, what are your expectations for Matt Eberflus? I know you've talked about the impact he can make on Sundays and how big this is for him to maybe keep some of the momentum going that he has kind of developed in the first six games. How big are these next three games for Flusi?
Well, let's start here. Anybody wanting to send a thank you note to the league office for the way the schedule is set up, 345 Park Avenue in New York. That's where you'll send that, because as much as we talk about how daunting the back end of this schedule is, the Bears have been given a really, really friendly on-ramp to going into that stretch of their schedule. And these next 3 weeks are part of that, David. You see three games that you could and should win, maybe favored in all of them. You have got opportunity here, even if you just win two of them, to go 6-3 heading into that stretch of eight to finish. You'll feel really good. You'll feel like you have good momentum. Now, when it comes to Matt Eberflus, you have to continue to get your team to rise to the occasion. One stat that we'll talk about a little bit this week is they're 3-16 on the road in the three seasons of the Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles era. That's got to get better. You got to figure out a way to take care of your business on the road. You've got to take care of business when you're in close games. And we saw last year games that you should have won, three of them with big blown leads down the stretch that cost you. You got to make sure that you're handling your business the way you have the last 3 weeks against the Rams, Panthers, and Jaguars. And so I just want to see Matt continue to push things forward, to continue to be involved in the oversight and development of Caleb and see that continue to progress. And really just continue to climb this staircase, because the Bears have done a lot of really good things through the first six games of the season. And it's not a time right now in these next three to have any sort of unfortunate and surprising steps backwards.
You know, we talked a little bit earlier in the week about the offense that they run and the way that the coordinator came out of the Mike Leach, the air raid system, and how he likes to get the quarterback on the move and he likes to have the run pass option, and it's a very interesting system, because especially with a player with the speed of Jaden Daniels, it makes the defensive line sort of mush rush a little. You have to be contained. You got to be careful. 100%. You look at Montez Sweat. This is his first game going back to Washington, and that guy shot out of a cannon to begin with. I mean, maybe he can run down Jaden Daniels. I don't know. But I'm just curious. I know you won't talk to Eric Washington until Thursday, but I'm curious as to what the message is to your pass rushers. Get to him, contain yourself, don't try to do too much. How do you handle that kind of athletic ability when you got a guy who has great athletic ability and is relentless as a rusher?
No question. You may have to juggle two different strategies here in the coming days, because Jaden Daniels is much more dangerous as a guy with his legs and his feet than Marcus Mariota will be. And so you kind of have to have that dual plan depending on where things shake out. I'm really looking forward, from a reporting standpoint this week up there, to hearing from Eric Washington, as you mentioned, on Thursday, and then hearing from Montez Sweat on Thursday, because that's a guy that obviously is going to have some emotions and some feelings going back to Washington for the first time since he came over here almost about a year ago to the day. And so it'd be fascinating to see how he kind of handles this week and how he handles the early parts of that game, because sometimes you can be really, really eager and looking to make that big splash. And so you got to be disciplined and understand the rules of the defense and what you're trying to do. It'll be a fun chess match for the Bears to take. I will just say that this defense has been up to pretty much every challenge they've taken this year. And so you feel really good about the direction that's going. And you hope that they can kind of collectively settle on something that keeps them in that same groove they've been in really since the middle part of last year.
Sweat led both teams in sacks last year.
That's right.
Remarkable.
That's right. Yeah.
That's going to be fun. So, Dan, when you look at this defense, though, and obviously they probably don't care who plays quarterback, but I think it would be a mistake to underestimate Marcus Mariota, especially coming off last week's game, especially given the fact that Cliff Kingsbury's system didn't change that much and it was still very effective. The Commanders are a team that, if they have to go to Mariota, I think shouldn't be taken lightly. Is that overstating how good Mariota could be?
No, not at all. And look, like, you're not going to be able to trick him the way you may be able to trick a rookie quarterback who doesn't have the same library of experience to draw from. And so, you know, you just have to be understanding that this guy who's made a lot of starts in this league, he's won a lot of football games, he's had success, he hasn't lived up to the billing he had when he came out, you know, as a top two pick years ago, but he's fully capable of beating you on a given Sunday. And so you got to play at your best, and then you have to hope that your own quarterback, your own rookie quarterback, is feeling poised and settled. Look, like, he's going back home as well. You know, this is a game for him that will have some unique energy challenges throughout the week and leading up to Sunday. And so it's another challenge for Caleb Williams, who, by the way, you know, you throw out the neutral site, quote unquote, home game in London. He hasn't won on the road yet either. And so a lot of challenges for the Bears football team right now. And as much as you lean into the confidence they've built, it can't turn into overconfidence too quickly. Otherwise, you're just setting yourself up for falling through a trap door.
Dan, I'm curious. The big story this morning is that the Chiefs are on the cusp of, if they haven't already, trading a fourth-round pick to the Titans for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just curious. They allegedly were talking about Cooper Kupp with the Rams, but they can't eat the amount of money the Rams want eaten on that contract, and they couldn't come up with draft compensation. When you see guys being shopped like Kupp is, and again, they're not going to trade him before Thursday when they play the Vikings, but I'm curious, and they could get back in their season if they won that game by some miracle. I'm curious, do you expect the Bears to be in conversations with teams? It feels like, because the trade deadline's a little later, because there are established needs with all these teams, and it just seems like there are teams that are done, that are willing to trade, that know they're not going anywhere. Could the Bears get involved in that, or do you think that's a bad idea? And I know, Flusie talked a little bit about not talking about individual people, but that sort of conversation takes place at this time.
Are you talking if they would specifically get involved in the Kupp conversations?
No, they're not going to trade for a receiver.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Just in general.
Cooper Kupp's a hell of a player to be traded. Yeah.
And no question.
And if the Chiefs were to get him, holy mother of God.
Right. So what you've had with this later trade deadline plus the expanded playoffs a few years ago is you've created more interest at this time of year for potential splash moves. And listen, like Ryan Poles the last 2 years has made four of them, you know, with Quinn and Roquan Smith and Chase Claypool and Montez Sweat. So I never rest easy. You guys know how it is as a reporter on this beat around this time of year. You never know when you'll be on call to jump into action on one of those things. And so until that trade deadline passes, I'll just assume that they're active in a lot of different conversations. Now, we've talked a lot in the past about Ryan's marriage to the discipline part of his job and understanding, like, you have to both be prioritizing the now while looking ahead to the future and understanding it. Okay, if we make move X, move Y, what does it look like for 2025, 2026, 2027? What are the resources that we're allocating to this in terms of draft capital and salary cap space and all the other things that go with that? And so, look, like Ryan Poles is always going to be active in conversations. The big part for him is just trying to find that healthy middle ground of what makes sense to push us forward now while also not putting us in a predicament up the road because of something we may have done that may have been overly aggressive. And so it'll be fun to watch him navigate it. He's done it a couple times and with varying results, and we'll see what it looks like in 2024.
Thanks, Dan. Great stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys, enjoy the game.
That is Dan Weidwer. He didn't give us a pick.
We don't get picks from him on Wednesday.
No, I'm just joking.
Nobody makes a pick on Wednesday. And you make a pick on Friday, but you change it by Sunday.
I make a pick Sunday morning. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
There's been some trade talk generated by NFL Network centering on Nate Davis. Is there anything you can confirm about that? And are you guys listening to potential offers for Nate Davis?
Yeah, I would just say this, that, you know, of course, you know, during this time when you're leading up to the trade deadline, you're always going to have guys that are in conversation for those trade talks. So I'm not going to talk about particular players or players that we're looking at potentially, but that's always going to be the case. It's part of the business. You know, it's an NFL player. You know that. And, it's just part of that time that we're in right now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Matt Eberflus talking about Monday, our guy Mark Brody asked him a question about Nate Davis and would he be available for trade. Well, let's see. If a guy is supposed to be the starter and the coach has twice gone to the podium to criticize him, which is like a desperate last-minute move.
Act of desperation.
And you now have him not on the active list on game day.
Right.
That means, yeah, he's available for trade. He's also making – they gave him a three-year, $30 million deal. He's making $10 million this year.
So let's look at that. And I respect the question from Mark Grody, the great Mark Grody.
There's no guarantee on that contract. So the money he makes this year is sunk money. They don't have to pick up next year's deal. He's pretty much finishing up with
the Bears. Well, let's look at the fine print. So the fine print says that Nate Davis was guaranteed $19 million when they signed him as a free agent before last season.
Yes.
$17.5 million of that was guaranteed to him on the day that he put his signature on the contract. So you could make the argument that once Nate Davis got paid, he stopped playing.
Well,
I mean, he stopped being productive. He was not the player they thought he would be. This was a miss by Ryan Poles, one of the rare ones that they probably will move on from. I would not be surprised if they do because, let's face it, he's making $500,000 per game. His base salary this year is $8.75 million, which means, Mully, as we know, if you trade him to a team, they assume the contract.
Yeah.
So the Bears are unlikely to take up that contract just to get rid of him. They would just cut him rather than pay somebody to play him or to take him. I don't see this being a realistic possibility.
The only reason a team would trade for a guy like that would be if they felt they couldn't get him on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to be cut and someone else would be. I don't think there's that danger, number one. But number two, you just said it. If a guy's making that kind of money per game, why would you want to pick up that contract?
You're not going to pay somebody $500,000 to be inactive, as the Bears are doing right now.
Yeah, it's a sunken cost.
They've
paid him, you know, it's the 2 years of the 3 years are paid for, let's put it that way, which means there's no guarantee for the last year, which means he's not going to be back here. You don't pay people.
He's not going to be back here, but the bigger question and the more pressing one would be if he is a negative drain, if he is a negative influence or negative energy to have in a locker room where you value culture, would they just cut him for the second half of the season before he can become a bad influence on a team that's headed in the other direction? I don't know the answer to that. And that's what I think they're probably discussing more likely than who are we going to trade him to, because that's not a realistic conversation. Realistically, they should discuss, are they better without him?
We don't know the guy, and I don't want to cast aspersion, but I will for the sake of our conversation. It doesn't appear as if he wants to play, David. He doesn't seem to have a passion for the game. There are plenty of players that would do anything to get out on the field and no
Doug Kramer,
tons of guys.
Mini Fridge,
I don't know.
Kevin Jenkins. I mean, you look at guys on that roster in that offensive line room that you look at and you say, yeah, they would do anything to play. Nate Davis does not exactly scream urgency, does not scream intensity.
Hey, we've got some audio from Tony La Russa.
Huh?
He's heading into his 80th birthday. Is he already 80? Did he just turn 80?
Yeah.
We'll ask him. No, we'll hear from him. He was on with WGN Interesting Stuff. We'll hear that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.